Well, we're going to read together from God's Word as we find it in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read from verse 13 to verse 29, the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 7, this is part of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's a sermon preached by Jesus Christ when he was on earth. And we're going to be thinking about verses 13 and 14 in particular this evening. But let's read from verse 13 of Matthew 7 to the end of the chapter. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Well, please keep that passage of God's word open in front of you, Matthew chapter 7. And as I said before, particularly verses 13 and 14. I'm sure that probably most of you know the story of the Poseidon Adventure, and perhaps you've seen the recent remake of the classic film. A luxury cruise ship capsizes, and hundreds of passengers are trapped in the ballroom. One man is convinced that it's only a matter of time before the glass windows break under the pressure of the water, and that anyone who is still in the ballroom when that happens will be drowned. So he tries to persuade people to come with him as he seeks to find his way out of the ship. But most of the people choose to stay put. They're comfortable in the ballroom. There are no signs of any imminent danger, and so they stay where they are. Only a small handful follow this man on what is an incredibly dangerous, difficult, terrifying journey through a maze of claustrophobic corridors and lift shafts and flooded tunnels that eventually lead to freedom. Why would anyone in their right mind dream of leaving that present comfort and safety to put themselves through such a horrible nightmare? Well, the answer is because of what is ahead for both groups, life or death. They can stay in that big, comfortable, open, spacious ballroom and die. Or they can try to navigate those death traps on every side and live. In these words of Jesus that we're thinking about this evening, a similar kind of choice is being presented to you this evening. There are two life or death options. Jesus speaks here of two gates that lead to two roads with two crowds on them heading for two very different destinations. Every single person in the world is on one of these two roads at this very moment. Let's read these two verses once again. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those that find it are few. Well, I want us to look at these two verses this evening under four simple headings. First of all, two gates. Two gates. Jesus tells us that the gate to the narrow road is small. It is a narrow gate. It's easy to miss. It would be easy to despise it. After all, what could possibly be worthwhile behind such a small, unattractive door? If it was worth paying attention to, then the front door, the gateway, would be much more impressive, surely. But the appearance of this narrow gate is very uninviting. Jesus says that it's not at all easy to get through this gate. It's like a small turnstile. It's claustrophobic. It's very restricting. It's very awkward. You can't take baggage through this gate. You have to take off everything that you're carrying. You have to leave it behind if you're going to get through this narrow gate. That's how you get on the narrow road, according to Jesus. You have to give up all your selfish ambitions. You have to surrender all your own plans for your life. You have to be prepared to give up your family and your friends. Because going through this gate, this narrow gate, is making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. From the moment that you pass through that gate, he is the Lord of your life. He is in charge. Jesus says in John 10, verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Going through the gate is entrusting yourself into Jesus' hands. The gate to the wide road is very broad. It's easy to get on to the broad road. It's a bit like the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. Perhaps you've visited or seen some pictures of it. It's a huge gate, wide open. It's 65 meters wide. Hundreds and hundreds of people can pass through the Brandenburg Gate at the same time. There's no limit to the baggage that you can take with you when you pass through this broad gate. You don't have to be inconvenienced in any way. You don't have to change a single thing about yourself. You don't have to leave anything behind you. It's very, very inviting, Jesus says. Just come as you are. Don't worry about conviction of sin. Don't worry about repentance. Don't worry about conversion. Don't worry about changing your life. We welcome everyone just as you are. You don't need to change a thing. We don't insist on any of that extremist nonsense here at the wide gate and the broad road. Two gates. Then secondly, he speaks of two roads. Because the gates are just the beginning of the journey. These two gates lead to two roads. They open out into two very different ways of life. First of all, there is the narrow road. The narrow road. And the word that's used here for narrow is a word that's connected with persecution and opposition. This narrow road is not an easy road to walk along. It's a dangerous road. There are hostile enemies that lie in wait along this narrow road. And that's something that Jesus warns us of again and again, that the Christian life is dangerous. It's not easy. It's not for weaklings or for cowards. If you enter through the narrow gate, then you can expect pressure from an unbelieving world. Mockery, derision, patronizing contempt, exclusion, hatred, even for many Christians in the world, physical violence and even death. The narrow road. It describes a confining, restricted, limited lifestyle, doesn't it? This is a road that has clearly marked boundaries. And actually, when you read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, 7, and 8, Jesus makes clear what that looks like. Every aspect of our behavior, our attitudes, our thoughts, every part of life is to be dictated by God's word. There's no room on the narrow road for free thinkers who want to throw off the restraints of what God's word says. There's no freedom on the narrow road to do as you please. God's laws are the laws of the road. You can't watch that. You can't go there. You can't do that. You can't spend your money as you please on what you want. Life on the narrow road is hemmed in on every side by God's word. Every decision, every thought, every word, every action, it's all to be governed by God's will. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of self-denial. Jesus makes that very clear over and over again. It is a narrow way. Just a little bit like, I suppose, being a soldier in the army is a narrow way. It's a restricted way of life. You surrender a great deal of freedom when you enlist as a soldier in the army. You're not free any longer to do as you please and go where you want. You have to do what your commanding officer tells you to do. And perhaps you're a Christian this evening and you're chafing against the narrowness of God's way. And you wish that it was just that little bit broader, that you had just a little bit more freedom. You don't really like the restrictions that are placed upon you by the Word of God. But you can't make it broader. It is a narrow way. But then there is the broad road. That's the alternative to the narrow road. Jesus says there's a broad road, and it's a wide and a spacious road, just like the gate that gives access to it. There's plenty of room on the broad road for all kinds of views, all kinds of beliefs. The broad road is extremely accommodating to everybody. There are no rigid rules here. There are no boundaries here. Follow your heart. Do as you please. Do whatever you like. If you want to follow religion, follow religion. You want to give to charity, give to charity. You want to do drugs, you want to pursue casual sex or alcohol or sport, whatever you want, you can do it on the broad road. It doesn't matter what you're into. Everybody is welcome on the broad road. The only rule on the broad road is that there are no rules. There are no boundaries. Two roads. The narrow road and the broad road. Two gates. Two roads. Thirdly, then, Jesus tells us about two crowds. Two crowds. Which of the two gates and which of the two roads do you think is the most popular? Well, it's no great surprise, is it, that the wide gate and the broad road is far more popular. Many, Jesus says, enter through it. And only a few find the small gate. The big, wide gate and the broad road, they're inviting. And they're easy. And they're convenient. There's no sacrifice involved in going through the broad gate onto the broad road. There's no self-denial there whatsoever. Of course it's going to be popular. Who in their right mind would want to squeeze themselves through that tiny door into that cramped, claustrophobic way of life? Not many people. Jesus himself says that. Only a few find the narrow way. Most people in the world are not following the Christian path. And we shouldn't be surprised by that, because Jesus warns us here that that will be the case. And that warns us, doesn't it, against thinking that truth can be worked out by numbers. What is right is not decided by the majority. Just because most people believe something doesn't make it true. How many times in history has that shown to be the case? You think, for example, of Galileo Galilei. He believed that the earth moved around the sun. Everybody else in the world believed that the sun moved around the earth. He said, no, the earth moves around the sun. And yet he was forced to recant that belief in 1633 because everybody else said that the sun orbited the earth. Legend has it that after recanting, he said under his breath, "Eppur si muove," which in Italian means, "and yet it moves." Just because the vast majority believe something doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it right. And just because most people are on the broad road doesn't mean that they're right. Many are on the broad road because it's so easy and so pleasant and so appealing, and because it allows them space to be who they want to be and do what they want to do. It's the path of least resistance. It doesn't demand any painful changes. But that doesn't mean it's right. None of that makes it right. It says in Romans 3 verse 4, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." Everybody else can be wrong. God is the one who says what is right. And it would be easy to look around the rest of the world and feel secure because everybody else is doing what you're doing, living the way that you're living, living together outside of marriage, not going to church, getting drunk. Everybody does it. So it can't really be wrong. It seems acceptable because it's normal, because most people do it. And Jesus warns us here against thinking that way and making that mistake. Just because the broad road is thronged with crowds of people doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean they're right. It just means that many people think the same way. Two gates, two roads, two crowds, and then fourthly and lastly, two destinations. Two destinations. The wide gate and the broad road may be spacious and inviting, and there may well be many people on it. But what's at the end of it? Where does it lead? The small gate and the narrow way may be unattractive. They may be difficult and unpopular. But what's at the end of it? Where does the narrow road take you? Jesus says the wide gate and the broad road lead to destruction in the end. It seems such a lovely, pleasant road to be on, but it ends in a nightmare of unimaginable horror. Try to imagine yourself floating lazily in a boat along a river on a sunny day, and everything is peaceful, everything is calm, the birds are singing, the sun is shining, there's a light breeze rippling the surface of the water, you're drifting happily along in your boat. Then suddenly the current begins to speed up, and you realize that just ahead of you the river is pouring over the edge of a cliff. You can just about hear the water crashing down like thunder far, far below. And it's too late to do anything to save yourself. Your boat comes to the edge of the cliff and it tips over, and you can see down below the terrible rocks that you're going to be plunged against, and you hurtle towards them. What a terrible fate. And yet what Jesus is describing here is infinitely worse. And this is not a thought experiment. This is not dreamt up. This is not imagination. This is real. Many, many people in the world today are walking along the broad road quite happily, and they have no idea that it leads to destruction. It describes that everlasting punishment that God will pour out upon those in hell who refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, who refuse to bow their knee before him as Lord, who refuse to accept the salvation that he has provided at infinite cost to himself. And all these people on the broad road, they're rushing headlong towards disaster without realizing it. And yet, there are warning signs that something's wrong. I said earlier that the broad road is easy and convenient and undemanding. Just do whatever you feel like doing. That's the mantra of the broad road. And yet, life on the broad road is not as easy and blissful as you might think. There's a sense in which the destruction that lies at the end of the broad road begins to be experienced in small measure even before you get to the end. There are warning signs along the broad road that all is not well. It's not easy to live life without boundaries, as people on the broad road do. It's not good for us to be told that we can do whatever we like. We're not wise enough to know what's best for us. We need our Creator to tell us. We need the restraints, the loving guidelines of His commandments to protect us and to keep us from self-destructive selfishness. Those on the broad road who live for pleasure actually are making themselves miserable, aren't they? We know people, perhaps, and every week their whole world is about saving for the weekend, working for the weekend so that they can go out and enjoy themselves. And most of their life becomes just a kind of inconvenient nuisance that has to be got through until they can get to their next drinking session or their next sexual encounter or whatever. And their dignity and their nobility as human beings has been reduced to the level of an animal. And perhaps when they're honest with themselves in quieter moments, there's a nagging suspicion in their head, a voice of conscience that's telling them that there must be more to life than this. There's a gnawing emptiness that all that entertainment and all that pleasure isn't touching. Other people try to build their lives on things that are more worthy. Things like family or charity work or religion. But even these things don't really satisfy, because they can't really deal with the guilt of an accusing conscience. They don't bring that inner peace that we crave. Nothing on the broad road can fill that God-shaped hole that is inside every single human being. The broad road leads to destruction. It destroys those who walk on it. Destroys them completely at the end. But it even begins to destroy them in this life. The broad road promises freedom. But in the end, it leads to total captivity. A captivity that is unimaginable. We should think of the wide gate and the broad road as being like a cone, where the wide end of the cone is at the entrance. But then as you go through, it gets narrower and narrower and narrower. Gradually, the broad road becomes more restricted, and people realize that they have got trapped, that they're hemmed in more and more, until in the end they're squeezed into no space at all, and all their freedom and every good thing is taken away from them, and they're destroyed. That's where the broad road and the wide gate lead to destruction. Well, what about that unattractive, unpromising, restrictive gate that leads to the narrow, unpopular way? What lies at the end of that road? And Jesus' answer is life. Life is at the end. It leads to heaven. A paradise of bliss and everlasting happiness. And that's worth all the pain and all the self-denial and all the suffering that there is along that narrow way, because in the end, it leads to eternal glory and joy. Think about a man in prison who's wrongly convicted. And some of you will know this story. He escapes by crawling through a mile-long tunnel, a sewer pipe. He escapes through the sewer pipe, this horrible, cramped, confined space, unimaginable stench. It makes your stomach turn even to think about it. He crawls through, and he's free at the other end. It was worth it. It was worth that short, relatively speaking, that short tunnel of misery to get to this wonderful freedom at the other end. But in fact, it's better than that. When we spoke about the narrow way, I talked about persecution and hostility from the world. The confining lifestyle of having to live every part of life God's way instead of your own way. and not having any freedom to do as you please. That's what the narrow way is like. And perhaps that sounds horrible. And you think, why would anybody want to be a Christian? No matter what's at the other end of it, that sounds miserable. But actually, it is the most liberating and wonderful life of all. Think of the narrow way as a cone turned the other way around, so that it begins small, it begins very restricted and narrow, but once you pass through and you begin to walk God's narrow way, you discover that actually it broadens out, and it is a way of freedom. Yes, there are persecutions. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are difficulties. But it is a way, ultimately, of freedom. And the life and the joy that is at the end begins to be experienced on the road itself, just as the destruction at the end of the broad road begins to be experienced in this life. So the life and the joy and the happiness at the end of the Christian way begins to be experienced in this life too. Living life God's way is restrictive, yes, but it's restrictive in a liberating way. True freedom is not found in doing whatever we want. True freedom is found when we live life the way that God, our Creator, has designed us and intends us to live. Jesus says that in John 10, verse 10. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's why Jesus has come. That's what he offers us. Life to the full. Life in all of its richness. Life as it's meant to be experienced. Psalm 119, verse 45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Those precepts that are the boundaries of the narrow way. When we keep to that way, it brings freedom. We sang from Psalm 18, verse 19. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. So just as destruction is lying in wait at the end of the broad road, so life, eternal life, is lying in store for us at the end of the narrow road. And both of those destinies begin to be experienced even now in this world. The joy of the life of the age to come breaks into the present, and we experience peace with God now. We experience the joy of being forgiven for all of our sins. We experience the joy of a clear conscience. We experience the joy of being adopted into God's family and being able to call him our Father. We experience the joy of fellowship with God and with God's people and the comfort of his love and the presence of his Holy Spirit to empower us to live along the narrow way every day of our lives. Two gates, two roads, two ways, two destinations. Surely none of us is so mad as to want to go to destruction. All of us want heaven rather than hell. We want life, not death. But listen to what Jesus says here. If you want life, there's only one road that will take you there. And it's the narrow road through the narrow gate. And if you haven't yet entered through that small gate, then you're not on the road that leads to life. You're on the road that leads to destruction. But the good news is that you can change direction. You can change the road that you're on this very night. It's not too late, not yet. You haven't reached the end of the broad road yet. But listen, you don't know when you will come to the end of the broad road. You may have miles and miles left to go, years and years. Or perhaps you've only got a few inches, just a few more minutes, few more hours or days. The end of the broad road could come very suddenly and very unexpectedly. You could come to the edge of the cliff without any warning at all. Just a tiny little blood vessel in your brain that bursts, and life is snuffed out in an instant. Small blockage in an artery, and a heart attack takes you instantly. Or perhaps the Lord Jesus will return in judgment on the world from heaven. He'll come like a thief in the night, the Bible says, and it'll be too late to repent. It'll be too late to look for the narrow entrance to the narrow road then. It'll be too late to ask for mercy when that happens. You don't know when the end of the road will come. So get off the broad road now. Find the narrow gate. Go through the narrow gate. Give your life to Jesus Christ and begin to walk the narrow way that leads to life. If you don't really understand these things, but you understand enough to know that your soul is in danger, then I urge you to do something about it. Please get in touch with us. Send an email through our website. We would be only too happy to help you investigate these things and find out more about how exactly you enter through the narrow gate and walk on the narrow way that leads to life. Because nothing is more urgent. There are just these two ways with two destinies at the end. And every one of us at this moment is on one or the other, heading to one or the other of these destinations. Amen. Well, let us bow in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for anyone listening to this message this evening who is on the broad road that leads to destruction. And our Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will take the words of the Lord Jesus that we have considered together this evening, and you will use them like a sword into their soul. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will open their eyes to see their desperate need to get off the broad road, to find the narrow gate, and to enter into the way that leads to life. Father, we pray that you would be merciful. We pray that anyone who's not a Christian listening to this evening will be able to spot the signs on the broad road that things are not right, that their life is not what it should be, that there is something missing, something that's wrong, something that's off kilter about their life. Father, we pray that you would graciously draw them to yourself this very night. We pray, Father, that you won't allow people to put off thinking about these things. Please, Lord, don't let anyone travel another step along the broad road without investigating this narrow way that leads to life. We pray that you would glorify yourself in the salvation of many men and women and children, taking them from the broad road, saving them from destruction, and bringing them to the way that leads to life. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.